We're recording right now. We're
recording right now.
I just got nervous.
Dude, I know, right? Isn't it weird? It's like putting on a new pair of pants and they don't fit quite right. Yeah. But like you know you're gonna walk around them all day. Mm-hmm. So you're nervous when you leave the house. Ooh. You're like, oh my god,
take wet underwear off and put dry underwear on. Sometimes I take a shower in shorts.
Yeah.
Just to have the experience of are we recording right now?
Howdy,
everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Danny Miranda Podcast, the show about some things Texas.
And some things Danny.
We've got an incredible show in store for you today.
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter, and I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women. And I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
Bunch of different stuff to go over in the news, but before we do any of that semi-important stuff, the first thing we got to do, as always, our favorite segment.
And yours.
Our not sponsors, still... 30,000 followers later, thousands of downloads later, still no money from any of these
Literally
people.
Literally millions of views.
Millions of views, no sponsors, but we still got our not sponsors. Seth, who is our first not sponsor for today's episode?
Our first not sponsor is the IRS.
The IRS.
Go ahead, take half my money. It's
the IRS.
For a company that like takes the majority of what I own, why do I have to do the math for you? I just don't understand, because it's the IRS. You think you made a lot of money this year? Think again.
The IRS. Sorry for contributing to society, I guess. The IRS.
It's not a real thing.
The IRS. So you know how much I owe, but I've got to figure it out. And if I get it wrong, even though you knew the whole time, I'll get penalized and owe you more.
The IRS. Stands for Internal You System. Probably bleep that part.
A little bit. The IRS. I hate them so much.
Dude, they're a bitch and a half.
Wow.
It's just like, oh my God.
There's moments when I think of the IRS too much, I have a moment where I think I get communism.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
I wish there was a way to explain to children, like whenever we're telling you to stay a child as long as you can, we're not talking about like having fun and being free. We're talking about not dealing with the fucking IRS.
Yeah, you never have to deal with them ever.
Please don't audit us.
The IRS. If you do, you'll find nothing. audit Texas LLC.
Yeah, see what happens.
See what you find.
Wesley Snipes School of Accounting.
They can't tax if it's already spent.
It's already spent. They can't tax what you don't have.
Now my accountant's number is 1555.
Gunner Bear, who is our second not sponsor?
Our second not sponsor for today's episode of Texas is Bad Tan Lines. Bad Tan Lines. Sure, I'd love to look weird naked. Bad Tan Lines. What is this? What is that? It's a bad tan line. Making you wish all swimsuits fit the exact same since 2005. It's bad tan lines.
Is that a Choco Tan I see? That's a
bad tan line. I did not. Yes, I did. Fall asleep in the sun. Bad tan lines.
Are you Venezuelan?
Bad tan lines.
Although, seriously, in fairness, those tan lines.
Can get behind. That's more of a beard line. Anyway, so, yeah, I hate the...
The hat, because you have to wear it.
Well, I wear it. Yeah, so if I have it on... The best part is if I have it on backwards, you can't tell.
Okay.
And then I take it off, and there's just a block of tan skin. And I'm in a wedding in 2 weeks, so now I'm in this conundrum of...
Like,
Do I get a haircut?
Do you wear makeup?
If A-Rod can do it, I can probably do it. So,
you know, low-key best baseball player makeup? Sammy Sosa.
Man. Michael Jackson goes athletic, that's for sure.
That's what it is.
He is scary looking.
He really is.
The craziest part about him is, because I mean, Michael Jackson like, I dress like this because I like boys. Sammy Sosa is, when people ask him about it, he's like, I like to look this way. Yeah, like he's doing this on purpose.
He wants to look like a dolphin became human.
Yeah. Michael Jackson had a surgery gone wrong and got burnt. There was a bunch of things going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Sammy said, can I look like that?
He saw please that and went, you. Yes, please.
Yes. He goes, he says, Sammy like was Sammy like.
He went to Bed Bath & Beyond in the towel section and was like,
that. Yeah, he watched Memoirs of a Geisha and thought, what if?
What if I could?
What if me was that?
I too could be a geisha. Given the right technology.
A geisha, as Big Poppy would say.
Dude, oh my God.
You want to hear me? I'm so glad we're doing this.
Dude, I am too. It's been way too long.
Been a little bit too long, but we're getting episodes out.
Viewers will notice we are in a slightly different studio at the moment.
Still check out Pouch 6 if you're in Austin. Also check out the Radio Room if you're pressed for time like we were. So
shout out Yash, you like really helped us out in a pinch.
Shout out Jake, like, who's literally grateful. Physically Jake switching physically us right now there, which is making me feel like, okay, you talk and then I'll talk
real quick. Right. Before we get into our segments, don't forget, if you like us and follow us, you can get our merchandise.
Yes.
At TexasPod.com.
TexasPod.com. Everything is priced at $18.45 to honor the founding of Texas.
Yeah.
Before everyone's like, that's when the white people took it. Don't forget the Spaniards. Don't forget the French. Don't forget how the infighting that was happening within the Tejanos or the Mexican unit. Just the whole...
Before
we go there.
The Texas shit show, if you will.
Yes, exactly. But you want to hear about something that happened once upon a time in Texas history.
Once upon a time
in Texas history, Bear Bryant went way too far.
Ooh.
And I'm talking about, right after Bear Bryant, famous Alabama head football coach, but A&M had him for 3 years. And the dude was bonkers. So
I mean, his name was Bear.
I mean, true. So he was, I mean, my nickname is Bear. Well, so.
And,
so clearly, I'm built different. And so on February 8th, 1954, he was hired as the head coach of the Texas A&M football team and noticed that the program was basically a mockery at that point in the conference and decided, well, what better way to make this program better than to bus every single player to the town of Junction, Texas in the middle of summer and basically have a hell camp to weed out the weak. And the thing that I love here is he was quoted as saying, I feel that many of the players on the team are weak and not properly trained or coached and need a camp away from the distractions on campus. Funniest part about that was in the 50s. There were no women on campus then.
Right. So what distractions
is he referring to?
Wink.
Wink, wink.
Well, it was June.
He buses the Texas A&M football team to Junction in the heat of summer and begins a football camp, the likes of which has never been seen again, partially because most of it's illegal now. They would commence practice at 6 a.m. and run practice until 6 or 7 p.m. No water breaks. The only relief from the heat that these guys could get was two cold, wet towels, one for the offense, one for the defense. So they were sharing a cold, wet towel.
So they were sharing a warm, damp towel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was only cold for 5 seconds. Every single day, at least 3 to 4 players would quit and leave. So slowly but surely, the team is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Right.
Physically.
More depleted and more depleted. Oh, no, it's reported that every player lost at least 10% of their body fat being out that long. One player almost died from heat stroke and would have died had a local doctor not convinced Bear Bryant to let that kid go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, let him be carried to the hospital where they buried him in ice just to basically revive him.
There's a great movie about this.
The Junction Boys.
And I'll never forget the scene where it's like they're like playing around. It's their first day there.
Yeah.
They fall on the grass.
And the stickers. And they're pulling stickers. Freaking crazy. That scene is
like buried in my mind.
And, well, it was so bloody and deep. And if you're from West Texas, like, you know what it's like to either get that in your foot or in your hands. And yeah, so the camp down in Junction worked because Texas A&M went 1-9 that year. And they won one game. That whole camp is famous now because of the movie. There was a book written about it. It is also famous because it is sort of the picture of what not to do anymore. Yeah. Like, that was sort of the, all right, here's how we used to coach football players. Because the whole mentality was make them tough, which came with no water breaks, long practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, the less sustenance you get, the stronger you get was the
mentality
back then.
Clearly,
clearly did not work that well. A&M does go on to go like 7-2 the next year and 9-1 and won the conference championship. Did so well that Bear Bryant went to Alabama and had a way better career there and just left us in the dust, but whatever.
You know.
So yeah, shout out the time that Bear Bryant almost killed a group of football players in Junction, Texas.
A group of, you know, 17 to 20-year-old young men.
Yeah, yes, 20 at the oldest. Yeah. And yeah, the big thing here is it wasn't even... I brought this up because we're having a pretty historic Texas summer right now.
Although we are.
We are. Yeah. And summer of 1954 was another summer like that. It wasn't just a normal Texas summer, which is already high. It was a... So all 10 days of the camp took place in high temperatures, all days exceeding 103 degrees Fahrenheit. It was a historic drought in that area of Texas, and it was one of the hottest summers ever recorded. So... Shout out to all these guys that survived that. This has also created a term in the medical, like sports medicine community called Junction Boy Syndrome, which is when specifically football players are overtrained or overheated and are basically either denied water on the coach's side or denying themselves water to make themselves tougher. They literally call that Junction Boy Syndrome. So you can thank Texas for that.
Thanks, Texas.
Thanks for killing teenagers. You want to hear about our small town of the week?
I want to hear about our small town of the week.
So our small town of the week. Small town of the week. Where is it?
Where is it?
Can't find it. Our small town of the week is Junction, Texas. The community was founded in 1876 after the organization of Kimball County earlier that year. The original town site was named Denman after Marculus Denman, who had surveyed and plotted the new community. The name was quickly changed to Junction City because everyone hated that guy. In late 1876, Junction City won the designation of county seat from the unsuccessful and flood-prone settlement of Kimberville. It's underwater now. By 1879, a drugstore, a lively stable, a sawmill, and a few general stores were active in the community. Around 300 people were living in Junction City in 1882. The West Texas, Kimball County's first newspaper, began publishing there in 1882 as well. The county courthouse and its records were lost in a fire in 1884. So if you lived there pre that, you don't exist anymore.
Oh, that's good to know.
A second two-story brick and stone courthouse was partially destroyed in an 1888 fire as well, but was repaired and remained in use until 1929 when the present courthouse was constructed. In 1894, Junction City became known simply as Junction. Infrastructure improvements marked the decade of the 1890s. And yeah, it's really just this sleepy, beautiful little town in the southern hill country of Texas. Beautiful rivers, beautiful watering holes, great hunting. It is sort of in that nook of South Texas where it's still a cute town, but it hasn't been cutified the way that maybe a Fredericksburg or a Johnson City has. So it's not as much of a old people stumbling through the streets type of place. Sure, it's more of a
bachelorette paradise.
Not quite there yet. And it seems like they're actively trying to stay away from that, which I commend. You know, keep the river rats around. River rats need their cute towns too, you know? They need a burrito stand to refresh themselves.
They deserve overpriced Airbnbs just like everybody else.
Just like every other bachelorette party from Austin, all right? They do. We're just saying.
They do have to pay extra for the cleaning fee.
Yeah. I wonder if coaches in Junction ever threaten, like, do you want to be the Junction Boys?
Do you want to rerun?
Do you want to... You want to resurrect the story, do you?
I bet they do. Like, honestly.
I mean, they probably do.
If you live in Junction, you're probably like, I hope this doesn't happen.
If you live in Junction by the age, if you're a teenage boy in Junction, I'm sure by the age of 15, you're pretty over the.
Right.
Remember that time that the A&M football team
was sure a couple of them, like, stuck around, or maybe there's a Junction boy keeping the story alive.
Yeah. And, well, no, they have they have a reunion every 5 years in Junction, and I'm sure it's gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. Yeah. Because those guys are 90 at this
It really
point.
Must be difficult to grow up knowing that you will never be as tough as those people.
Yeah.
Just being like, well, if that's the bar,
I'll never be buried in a bed of ice because I'm about to die from heat stroke.
Exactly.
So,
and then go back to practice.
But I also love living when I think, well, I could be super tough because I don't drink water.
Or
I can be really hydrated.
And still do the thing. So I'm going to be hydrated.
I'm going to be hydrated anyway. Plus the teams are integrated. It's a bit nicer now. What? That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. That's a very good point you made.
In case anyone's ever wondered, I am pro integration.
The audience has always been curious. Gunnar, what's your stance on integration? I'm for it.
All right, cool.
Okay, awesome.
Comedy podcast. Who is our badass of the week?
Badass of the week. Who is it?
I wasn't even looking at you. Yeah, that
dude,
time.
That was. Do we? Have you done this before?
We've done it. Have you times. Done it? Even 3 weeks off. We're back. Perfectly caffeinated, amped on coffee. The baristas at Flitch weren't mean to us today.
So. No, they weren't. They were very, very
They
nice.
Moved the service window and they got nicer immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
And they it's also like, fired a lot of people.
Sure, sure. The coffee layoffs are real.
Yeah, dude, coffee layoffs are real. It's I'm just real, saying. Man.
So our badass of the week does tie in slightly to our topic later.
Okay.
But I thought it would be fun to go over this one. She's relatively new, you know, as far as public eye.
Uh-huh.
But she was born in November of 1965.
Dylan Mulvaney.
Cassandra Brené Brown.
Oh, yeah.
So Cassandra Brené Brown was born in San Antonio, Texas. She is a professor, an author, mm-hmm. a writer, a TED podcaster, talker. TED talker. Her TED talk has been viewed millions of times. Mm-hmm. She specializes in talking about shame, vulnerability, and leadership.
She specializes in shaming us into vulnerability.
Exactly. That's well, it makes sense. She's a clinical social worker.
Yeah,
that's exactly. what they do. They shame you into being a better person.
Yes.
They're like, hey, do you not understand that I'm better than you? And this is how you can
and
be
here's
like
the
me.
Roadmap to being better.
So she's an academic. You know, mm-hmm. she got her original degree from UT Austin, Hook'em. She went on to get her degree, her master's from mm-hmm. Houston in yeah. social work.
Go Cougars.
And all
Cougar you know, High, baby.
She's got a pretty interesting just childhood in general. She yeah. brought up one of four. Mm-hmm. She dated the same guy on and off for like 7 years while he was going to med school. Like nice. He started his pediatric residency in Houston when they moved there.
Oh.
So they like she's been with the same guy forever. And that's nice. Awesome. Started a family while she was, you know, teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote her first book, which was called Women in Shame. And okay. nobody would publish it. So she gathered the money together herself and self-published her first book.
That's so much cooler than any other fact I've ever heard about her.
I thought that was really, really yeah. cool because a lot of these kind of get picked up and go on the speaking circuit after they've been deemed interesting enough.
Yeah.
Whereas Brené Brown bet on herself.
Yeah.
She took that, you know, she took her own advice, mm-hmm. right? She dared greatly.
Yeah. And is there any info on why nobody would publish that?
You know, my guess is it's the title because yeah. later, her publisher picked it up.
Okay.
And that would become what we know as her first book. They changed the name though. What was her first one?
Not Dare to Lead.
Not Dare to Lead.
Unlocking Shame or?
So this was, and I'm sorry, I feel terrible.
I'm tempted to say pull it up, Jake, but I don't actually want him to do that.
I thought it was just me. It's what they changed
okay,
it to.
Okay, got it.
Anyway, so.
Did they change the content too? Or?
Not really.
Okay.
But what happened was slowly it became clear that this person recognized emotions in mm-hmm. a way and talked about them in a way that nobody else really had.
Yeah.
Especially emotions like shame,
yeah.
vulnerability, mm-hmm. and where they play a part in our psychology.
Yeah.
And though she's not a clinical psychologist, as far as I read,
mm-hmm.
she speaks on it to a degree that I think a lot of like very, very high level academics can't
yeah.
because they get too caught up in the heady terms.
Yeah.
So she did a really good job of mapping out emotions. She does mm-hmm. a really good job of translating what that might mean for you as a person and yeah. how you can take action on those things mm-hmm. to live a better life.
Yeah.
And I think that what she does and her work is really, really cool. And I think it's really catalyzed a lot of people to mm-hmm. look inside themselves and be more honest yeah. with where they are in life.
Mm-hmm.
Another really interesting fact, she struggled with drinking and smoking and binge eating for a long time.
That's rad.
I know, right? And
Brené Brown party.
Brené Brown. Dude, Brené Brown used to party.
Brené
Not as much as Tolkien, but close. Did you see that little Tolkien piece?
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Side note, Tolkien partied hard.
Super hard.
Their son came of age, and on the invitation, it says, the party starts at this time. We'll send wagons home at this time. At this time, ambulances will be called. And if you're still here at this time, we'll use a wheelbarrow.
Oh, my gosh.
The Tolkien's party.
So yeah, to be clear, that was the Tolkien.
That was the Tolkien.
Not Brené Brown.
Not Brené Brown. Brené Brown probably used Uber. But
fair. Lyft, maybe.
She did eventually go sober and yeah. has used that as part of her talking.
And has, but has managed to not be a butthole about it.
Has managed not to make it her whole entire identity. Yeah. I'm looking at you, AA.
Anyway. Not a lot of people know I'm sober now.
Yeah.
Because of my sobriety.
A lot of people come to me and they're like, I'm sober curious. So like, what do you think about being sober?
Well, because of my higher power.
I would love to take you to a meeting.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Anyway. So Brené Brown, shout out to you. You are our Texas mm-hmm. badass of the week. Love you.
I wasn't even looking.
That was good. That was fantastic.
I like to imagine Brené Brown at like a Fiji party yeah. at UT, just keg standing, out drinking everybody, having the time of her life.
That's how I imagine it happened.
I'm still stuck on this. They wouldn't publish that first book. Do you think, I'm just curious, do you think it was the title?
I genuinely think it's a title.
Because industry hates women, clearly.
Well, and it's not just that it was the title, you know, women, whatever. Because feminist books had been published for a long time.
Sure.
I personally think that it was more that it was women and shame. And so combining those two things together, my guess is the publisher was like, why would a woman purposely buy a book about feeling shame?
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Yeah.
From the marketing hat that I'm putting on is like, hey, change the name. And maybe she didn't want to, but
fair.
Either way, props to her for betting on herself.
Yeah, dude. You know? Yeah. And that's back when self-publishing was way harder.
Yeah.
Like way, way, way harder to do.
And I think she's done such a good job of highlighting how damaging shame is. You know, you talk about like emotional vibrations or whatever and levels of emotion, like the highest one being joy, right? The lowest one being shame. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a state of shame, it's almost impossible to feel joy.
Mm-hmm.
And all the actions you take as a consequence of feeling those things can be dire to your health.
Well, they're destructive.
Yeah, they're destructive, both to yourself and others.
Yeah.
And it's really important, I think, to recognize if you're caught in one of those cycles and then be given tools to help get you out.
Yeah, and that's, I think we're both on the same page of what I like about her work.
Yeah.
As much as I can sometimes make fun of it too.
Oh, please.
We make fun of everything.
She's the Jordan Peterson for women. Like, that's what,
Jordan Petersonette, if you will.
Right. Jordana Peterson.
Jordana Petersonette. Yeah. But
have you ever thought what it would be like to not feel shame?
To not feel shame.
And to dare greatly to do the things you want?
I'm here to unlock us. Anyway, so.
Anyway.
I like that she's also made the path. She's made it so clear that it's so worth it.
Yes.
To dig into your shame and unlock it and get out of shame cycles, break out of shame.
Well, and she had an interesting thought on like relationships and, you know, the 50-50 thing that some people say. And she was like, it's never 50-50. We check in whenever I, you know, see my husband.
Yeah.
What you got? And it's like, I got 80. All right. I got the other 20. You know, on days where you're lower and higher. And I thought that was a really interesting way to frame it because you don't always have all of the energy and sometimes your partner does have to pick up the
slack. I don't know. My wedding DJ said it's 100%, 100%. And I've just held on to that ever since.
I mean, hey, I like that too.
Yeah.
I think that in a relationship, you're always giving whatever your 100% is.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that it doesn't always add up to 100%.
No, not at all. Yeah. My 100% in the last 2 months has been like 30.
Nice.
At best.
Dude, good for you.
Yeah, and Jenny's has been like 70 to 80.
Yeah.
Because just different seasons. That is, all the best marriage advice or guidance is cheesy. That's just a fact. All the lofty, heady crap doesn't work. It truly is.
It comes down to like the cliches, and they are true.
They're true.
It's like Nan and Paul's advice to us on relationships, never go to bed angry.
Just never go to bed angry.
That was like...
Well, and then Paul clarifies, sometimes you go to bed sleeping further apart than usual. Yeah.
Are you ready for...
Text update. This joke is 2 weeks late, but the White House was evacuated due to a pile of white powder being found in the West Wing. And no matter how loud he barked, Hunter Biden could not convince Secret Service that he was not a drug dog.
A pipeline burst into flames outside of Houston, shooting fire and gas into the air. Having had the food in Houston... I can empathize.
Major League Cricket made its league play debut in Dallas, Texas last week and had to turn away a group of SMU frat boys for bringing their own paddles. Because it's the glove, you know, you take a glove to a baseball game and they're like, let's take the paddles.
Sakai!
Sakai for life!
A DPS trooper pulled a gun on a 10-year-old and sparked a heated debate. But in fairness, the 10-year-old did just call him a poopyhead and take his money.
Jonah Hill, who looks like Kurt Cobain's wet dream, caught fire this week for a series of abusive texts he sent to his ex-girlfriend, proving once again that unless you're Bono, tinted shades make you a prick.
Governor Greg Abbott, seen here drooling over a mannequin leg, is being sued for threatening academic freedom by banning TikTok from government phones. Now, having used the app to study anatomy, I hope he loses.
Do you have another joke?
I have another. Jonah Hill, famous therapy enthusiast, is in hot water after ex-girlfriend releases tweets indicating that therapy may be something he still needs.
Yeah, leave it to a narcissist to make therapists not work for him.
We talked about Brene Brown.
Yeah, Brene Brown, therapy.
Right.
Jonah Hill.
This tweet storm gets released.
Yeah. Well, it's she tweeted an Instagram story, right. Screenshots of text messages.
Yes. So screenshots of text messages from Jonah Hill to his ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. In his opinion, drawing boundaries.
Yes.
In her opinion, being abusive.
Yes.
We are not the only podcast who's talking about this.
No, we're late to the game.
We're a little late to the game in some ways. But there are people who've covered it better. But I still wanted to talk to it.
Because there's a bigger conversation.
There's a bigger conversation to be had. And I wanted your opinion as somebody who's married.
Yes.
As somebody who's won the relationship game.
Mm-hmm.
You locked it down.
You know me.
What's your take on all of this vis-a-vis relationships and the framing of like what's allowed, what isn't?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in the framing of marriage and relationships and communication, you can't weaponize language really in general. And I'm sure you shouldn't do that in any relationship, but especially in marriage, there is something that is tempting to do. And I've seen people do it. It's tempting to like weaponize therapy talk or what your therapist says or what this book says or what Brené Brown says to justify absolutely absurd behavior.
Yeah.
And you get to put it under the guise of being healthy or taking care of yourself and therefore taking care of the other or maturing, and it's just a different way to be an immature asshole, basically. And what I find funny about it is when people like Jonah Hill do things like that, they really think they're being immature or they're being different than they were 5 years ago. It's the same behavior. It's the same selfish, like the root of it is all selfishness. It's the same prideful, selfish behavior, just masked in a different language.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where he would have said, "You're being a slut" 5 years ago.
Right.
He's now saying, as a boundary, I would prefer if you don't hang out with those guys.
Sure.
Right.
And softer language is probably helpful in a lot of ways. And having the tools to communicate things more clearly is always a good thing. But I agree. The ultimate point is I agree with what you're saying. There's a tendency to weaponize therapy speak to absolve bad behavior.
Yes. And that's Jonah Hill's not the only person doing that.
No, absolutely.
Frankly, most people do that, at least the people I've encountered that are in therapy or in recovery or in or reading a Brené Brown book. It's suddenly they're not working on anything. They just have a new way to defend. They have a new way to defend their default personality.
It's confirmation bias, right?
Yeah.
You only take away the things that make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
In most scenarios.
And it's easier to make yourself feel better about who you already are than to actually just accept like, oh, I'm a crappy person.
Right.
And then start
and then
doing
work on yourself like that. And there's been a lot of interesting talk. One of my favorites was Chris Williamson had one of his previous guests on
who's that?
I can't remember her name off the top of my head. She's British. She's a psychologist of some kind.
Emma Watson.
I wish. Anyway,
seriously.
She was talking about, relationships and the fact that like, clearly these are boundaries that are actually okay if framed at the very beginning of the relationship.
Yeah.
But it was clear that it wasn't.
No.
And you cannot go in and then try to change somebody by using therapy speak and saying you're crossing my boundaries when you allowed it in the first place.
Yep. Right? And you just sound like you sound like a dick,
Jonah. You sound like a twat. You're being a twat.
You sound like a twat.
Yeah.
You sound
the
like...
The best part is reading the tweets in Jonah Hill's voice with his mannerisms.
Well, fat Jonah Hill or new Jonah Hill?
Either one, because... Okay, so he was in that comedy movie that was not terrible. Mm. Netflix did it. Schultz was in it.
You People. It was actually pretty good.
And there are moments where Jonah Hill gets agitated, and all I can do is see him like waving his hands and being like really...
Yeah, you know, get him to the Greek,
like,
Jonah.
A model is literally the last thing I would date.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Jonah Hill's acting. Like he does such a good job.
Yeah.
People have said this before. He's clearly insecure. He's got fat guy syndrome.
Yeah.
Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in him that was not okay with certain attention that his girlfriend was getting and didn't know how to be.
But also,
okay,
newsflash, you're dating an amateur/pro surfer.
Sure.
She is going to be in a swimsuit around dudes 100%. Most of the time.
So what we're looking at is, I mean, clearly the relationship didn't work for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the part that I found the most interesting is that these tweets were not from like a couple weeks ago.
They're from last year, right?
Exactly. So
flip it.
The thing that Chris Williamson's guest was saying mm-hmm. is that, oh, that changes the context mm-hmm. because somebody who's in an abusive relationship and needs help releases that almost immediately.
Yep.
Somebody who's looking for attention mm-hmm. waits.
Yep.
And
well, and the fact that she claims, well, I wanted him to have his baby first.
Yeah.
To risk, like,
right?
She tried to flip. She tried to frame it as, I'm trying to care for his yeah. baby mama's health.
Yeah.
By not bringing this up until the baby's born.
Because that's better.
That logic doesn't make sense.
Well. And I guess the greater point is, like, two people can be extremely wrong.
Yeah. At the same time. Yeah.
And I keep coming back to this, like, social media thing where I'm like, is this important? We are talking about it. So it does matter on some level.
It wouldn't matter as much yeah. if Jonah, so, you know, both sure. are wrong. Both are incredibly wrong, yeah. especially not to bash the girl too much. But number one, I don't even know her name. So that does sure. show the dynamic. Number one,
sure.
she's not very well known. She's not super professional surfer. Like, she's an amazing surfer, but she's yeah. not, you know,
there's an element of,
she hasn't had her arm bitten off and she's not winning. So no one's talking about her.
There's an element of maybe chasing some clout,
chasing a little bit of clout. So, you know, there's a desperate desire for attention yeah. and something on her side.
And when you combine somebody who has massive insecurity and somebody yeah. who desperately needs attention,
mm-hmm.
you've got a Molotov cocktail of a relationship.
Insanity. Well, and that's, I don't think this hits Jonah Hill as hard.
Right.
If two things. Number one, he doesn't make an entire documentary about his therapist and yeah. his therapy and his right. growth and his change. I mean, and
right.
compile that with, it'd be one thing if Superbad, like, fat, normal looking Jonah Hill did that documentary, right? But it's the bleached hair and the tinted shades and the sort of talking softer than he usually used to talk and
yeah.
not joking as much. And, hey, you guys do your thing.
I'm, hey, I'm being
the no shirt under sure. the blazer with a gold chain yeah. thing. So it's like, you look like a cock. So you're going to get more heat than you would.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said, if I could pull that off, I would try it.
Yeah. But does that make sense? But like, yes, he's catching more of the heat, I guess, cause he is more famous, but it's that intellectual hypocrisy yeah. of seeing how badly he's weaponizing therapy speak yeah. and his personal growth
with
all of that stuff.
Maybe that's human nature, right? Is like, we tend to gravitate toward the things that we need.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the healing space mm-hmm. and the wellness space, it's like bodybuilders, wellness coaches, like whatever, tend to be the people who need that the
yeah.
most. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're so good at it, uh-huh. is they've had to learn the most
mm-hmm.
and are now trying to teach it. Because
yeah.
what else are you going to do when you've spent half of your life learning how to regulate mm-hmm. your nervous system other than teach people how
exactly.
to do that?
Yeah. So, I don't know. And do you think, because to me, more than just the situation itself,
yeah.
I see more of a cultural issue of almost the over-therapeutization.
Over-therapeutization
yeah, sure, of society, almost. Like yeah. everyone, in relationships now, it's almost like everyone's speaking in these weird code languages of...
And that's language, right?
Of therapy talk.
It evolves.
Because
I agree.
Why not just say, I'm a crappy person and I'm working on it? It has to be this grand thing.
Okay, even the framing of mm-hmm. therapy has always bothered me because
yeah.
it's going to therapy, mm-hmm. which doesn't imply anything other than showing up.
Yeah.
Which is important. Because that's like the first step, right? Mm-hmm. Admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have any teeth to it. It doesn't have any intention. It doesn't have any indication of mm-hmm. further action.
Yep.
What are you doing? I'm going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
What are you taking away from it?
It's the same as, like, you know, people who do ayahuasca and are like, I did ayahuasca and it was amazing.
And now I wear these cool shirts.
And it's like, dude, did you integrate?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do after
was
the
there
fact?
Any integration after
right.
that?
Did you, if you learned a lesson, which I hope you did, mm-hmm. like, what did you do to make that part mm-hmm. of your life going forward?
Yeah. Not your personality.
Your life.
Your life.
Like, I mean, look, if you do ayahuasca, it's going to be part of your personality. I'm sorry.
Clearly, you're going to wear weird hats and go to Burning Man and have foursomes. That's just part of what comes with ayahuasca.
As we've talked about, is awesome.
I am opposed. But yeah, I mean, that's a good example. I wish, you know, sometimes I just, when I hear people talk about ayahuasca, I just want to say, just say you had a good trip.
Yeah, like, it's okay.
Stop trying to make it this bigger thing than you had a good trip in the jungle.
Yeah.
What would be wrong?
What would be wrong with going to the jungle and having fun with your buds mm-hmm. and tripping out?
Like, yeah. Like, what is wrong?
If you want to trip balls.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other side of that is on the therapy culture thing. Yeah. It's almost like people try to force it into sounding like it worked.
Right.
And that's where my rub is.
Well, it's the grandstanding of like, I went to therapy.
So clearly, I am now further ahead than you.
Right.
And that's why the
text drives us crazy.
Yeah. One, it can get weird in relationships, right? Because now one person is acting like I am further along than you. Yeah. So now you are not intellectually superior.
You're not on my level.
You're not on my level enough to where we can't even have an argument or a conversation or a relationship because I went to therapy.
And you didn't.
And even, you know, so going to therapy last year throughout the fall, because of that culture, I actually did go in thinking, well, I'm about to be fixed or I'm about to be better.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to therapy. And frankly, I had a pretty awful experience because my therapist sucked. She was critically bad at her job.
Sure.
I took some really good things away from it.
Yeah.
Therapy helped. I know that therapy helped. I know that my therapist did not help.
Sure.
Which is
an important clarification.
But that was a weird thing to wrestle with because, you know, the first 3 weeks were pretty decent, partially just from the deep dive and the hypnotherapy side of it. Like, there were some helpful things.
There's some things you took away from the hypnotherapy that helped a lot.
That helped a lot.
Yeah.
But it was a weird expectation thing to deal with and realize, oh, therapy doesn't just help. Like, you don't go to therapy and just get help.
Well, isn't it a bummer to realize that everything, you only get out what you put in.
Yeah.
And are willing to
continue. And I got as much as I could out of that useless person. Like, incredibly. I'm sorry, but if you're crying to me in our session, this is backwards.
Something's backwards.
Yeah. If we're talking about how I struggle with putting myself last, and now we're talking about your problems in my therapy session.
There's some transfer. I don't know if we're.
Now that you've taught me what manipulation is, I know I'm being manipulated right now.
Is this a test?
I really thought I was.
Am I on a Truman Show? Ashton?
She was a lovely person, clearly going through a lot.
Yeah.
But why do I know my therapist was going through a lot?
That's a really good question.
I should not know that my therapist was going through a lot.
And so bringing it back to like relationships.
Yeah.
The big, you know, I think our conversation around therapy was maybe a more useful one. But the one being bandied about along, you know, culture is, was Jonah Hill being unreasonable in his requests? Because I don't know I don't know if there is a right answer because your lines are your lines, right?
Sure.
I'm going to go back to, you can't impose lines that you were okay with in the beginning.
You can't retroactively impose a boundary.
Yeah.
Also, at this point, boundaries are stupid. Like, they've gotten so out of hand. Well, I think
people forget boundaries are for you, not them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, she sent all this out a year later, which is weird. But if you just put it in the context of, okay, when he sent this, you are talking to a professional surfer and your boundary is her not wearing a bikini.
That's weird.
That is not her fault.
That's not a boundary.
Frankly,
controlling behavior.
That is controlling, which is more of a Jewish mother thing, not a Jewish father thing, which is why it's surprising from Jonah.
Yeah.
Was that a bad joke?
Like, I don't know.
It's a writer's strike, so I'm trying to give him something.
Yeah, well, our writers are striking.
Yes.
Thank God we're not part of the WGA
right now.
Dude,
for real. We can keep going,
baby. So the actors are going to strike too. So now
they're already striking. Yeah, yeah. The cast of Oppenheimer walked out of the premiere.
Yeah, they did.
Which I still don't understand.
Well, that was more to raise awareness.
Gotcha.
Like, they're fine.
Raise awareness.
The fun part about part of the cast of Oppenheimer is some of them are stealthily not actually part of the union. They're what's called FICOR.
Nice.
I'm not going to say who, and I'm not going to...
Why aren't you going to say who?
Because, like, it's not illegal. It's just, like, bad form. But it means
I don't understand this world at all.
Oh yeah. So like if you're in
the I just union, think it's funny that there's been goblins striking for the last 3 months, but now that the pretty people are doing it matters.
Yeah. Well, we pay attention to the pretty people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That
shiny,
say the words.
Shiny lights. You know?
Lights.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to Jonah
back
really
to
quick.
Jonah really quick. Who's striking right now?
I personally do think his behavior retroactively or in the moment was absurd.
Yeah.
Because you sound like a wimp and you're trying to, it's clearly manipulative. It's clearly overbearing. It's clearly whiny.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's trying to make it sound like a her problem, not a him problem, that's the piece that really gets me. Yeah. Because, again, the text alone, just reaching out to her to let her know you crossed a boundary I didn't tell you about, it, and then flipping it onto her, like, so right. Now you owe me an apology.
Right.
Like,
that's super manipulative.
I'm not with that.
Yeah.
Also, the bigger conversation here is clearly actors don't live in the real world.
Clearly.
This is just also an example of clearly people in Hollywood and people who have spent their life entertaining us, which is great.
Yeah.
Just keep entertaining us. Don't text people. Just like
have
don't
your, have your agent, have your PR publicist like text.
Frankly, have a writer.
Have your assistant.
Have a writer for all communication. Because I'm Ricky Gervais was right at the Golden sure. Globes. They know nothing of the real world and how to actually interact with
and
people.
And they shouldn't have to. Like, yeah. To be honest, they get to be special. Yeah. I will allow them to be special.
No, let them be special.
Let them be special.
The movies are great.
Let Jared Leto go into the desert for 40 days and come back and be like, wait, there's a massive plague happening?
Mm-hmm.
Let that happen.
Let him do it.
Be a thing.
Let him do the thing.
I like him better that way.
Yeah.
I don't want him sitting on city council meetings. Yeah. I really don't.
It's like he adds nothing to that conversation.
He adds good hair and
so
eyes,
yeah. You know? They're both in the wrong.
Yeah.
Personally, I think Jonah's more in the wrong just sure. from everything he's built his personality and brand on collapses. Underneath
right.
that
it,
behavior.
It feels like anything he says from this point on about yeah. therapy mm-hmm. doesn't mean anything to
yeah.
us.
Which it already shouldn't have meant anything
sure.
is the reality. Back yeah, to
yeah, fair point.
Takes a certain level of delusion to make a documentary about your therapy and your therapist.
I refuse to watch it on principle.
Yeah, that makes yeah, sense. It's like, also honestly. Shot in black and white. Just get over it. Like enough. Enough.
You know, color film is expensive. Who knows?
Shut up.
Anyway.
I hate it when artists try to be more artistic for art's sake. It's yeah. like, just do it in color. No one... Like, don't try to make this documentary look even more profound because it's right. in black and white. Like, don't try to trick me.
Listen, man, you're not French.
Honestly, it's like when the artist won an Oscar for being a silent film.
Sure.
It's a silent film. Who cares?
That's a fair point. Just, I think I watched it once.
And yeah, as a layman who just wants to be entertained.
Right.
Give me words. We are not in the 1920s anymore. And frankly, that's a good thing.
I mean, I think it's like a cool experiment if you want to experiment. I don't know that it needs to be elevated the way that
that's they, yeah. Experiment if you
they,
want.
They artificially elevated it.
Yes.
And I think that's what bothers everybody, right?
Yes.
Everything we're talking about is about why do we elevate something that this person did just because they're shiny.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not doing anything nobody else can do, especially mm-hmm. within regards to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, maybe it's more damaging than helpful.
Exactly.
Both to him as yeah. a Jonah Hill brand
yeah.
and to people watching who now are maybe turned off of going to therapy because like,
that might be a good thing.
Maybe,
you know what?
Maybe.
Stop going to therapy. It's not helping. We're giving them too much money. Give it back to the teachers. Just live your life.
Stop going to
figure it out.
Stop going to therapy and not following through with the tools you're given.
Seth put it more elegantly
sure,
than I
sure.
did.
Well, hey, high low.
So stop taking ayahuasca.
Stop doing ayahuasca without integration.
Stop going to therapy without any follow through.
And start buying Texas merch
at texaspod.com. Everything priced at $18.45 to honor this amazing state. We know that there's problems with it too. We talk about that sometimes too. Don't come at us, but buy a shirt anyway, especially the Straight Nelson 2024 shirt. We got an election coming up. We really got to make that happen. And don't forget to like, subscribe, listen, share. We got the reaction videos and pod coming out once a week as well. So be on the lookout for that. We appreciate all of you and hope you have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.